Welcome to the Capital Connection, a weekly program questioning New York State leaders on a variety of issues. Your host is Dr. Alan Chartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Distribution for the Capital Connection is made possible with the help of New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
It's the Capital Connection. Hi, I'm Alan Chartok. Joining us this week is one of our favorites, Blair Horner, the Executive Director of the New York Public Interest Research Group, or NYPIRG. Welcome back, Blair. It's such an important week to have you on.
Thanks for having me, Alan.
So let's start with the election of Donald Trump. NYPIRG, I think, could be described as at least a slightly, progressive group of people, although I know that political party is not something that you usually do. What do you make of the election of Trump in terms of the kinds of things that are on a liberal agenda in New York State?
Well, I mean, the president-elect was quite vague about many of the issues that he cared about. I mean, he really hammered away on a few key issues, immigration and Obamacare and climate change. I mean, those are all issues that are going to sort of rub against what New York State public policy has been. So, for example, in the area of climate change, the president-elect has said he's dubious that the problems of the heating up of the planet are primarily the result of human activity, which certainly runs against what the science tells you and what public policy in New York has been focused on, which is to reduce fossil fuel emissions and use alternative energy sources. So how the policies play out at the federal level could have an impact on the availability of alternative energy sources and, of course, rising sea levels. And when it comes to immigration, New York City is a magnet for new immigrants, and the public policies at the federal level could have an impact. And certainly on the issue of the so-called Obamacare or President Obama's health insurance initiative, if the president-elect does, in fact, get rid of it, and we don't know what he'd replace it with, that could have a profound effect on the 2+ million people that get their health insurance through that program. So there's a lot of unknowns, and depending how the president-elect and the new Congress sort of tackle those big problems, could have a big impact on New Yorkers.
Now, I saw Governor Andrew Cuomo basically making nice, I think, yesterday to the president-elect and saying he looked sort of forward to working together. What do you make of that?
Well, I mean, it's the smart move, right? The president of the United States is the most powerful person on the planet. And if you're merely the governor of the state of New York, it makes sense to get on his good side. I mean, the president-elect, of course, is a lifelong New Yorker. And while there's no doubt this will be a very conservative administration coupled with a very conservative Congress, he may have insights into the impact of policy decisions on the city in particular that may give him a deeper understanding of what the impacts could be, and that may be more helpful to Governor Cuomo and New Yorkers. Certainly issues like mass transit, where New York City has a unique mass transit system in the country, Donald Trump understands what the subway, he may not take it much, but he understands that the subway is really the lifeblood of New York City, and the trains are important for the suburbs as well. So it makes sense politically for the governor to do that. After all, this will be a president with commanding majorities in both houses, and he'll be able to get a lot of what he wants to get done.
I think I understand Andrew Cuomo a little bit. I've been watching him for many, many years now, since he was a kid. And, Andrew sort of has a one-track mind. And at the very apex of that priority list of his is being president of the United States himself. Does this help him or does this hurt him get to where he wants to go?
Obviously, we've learned over this past week that changes in politics can occur very quickly and unexpectedly. And 4 years from now is a long time. But I would think for any governor of the state of New York views himself as presidential timber, and that having a Republican president makes it more likely there'll be an open field for anyone who's interested in running for president on the Democratic side in 4 years. But again, 4 years is more than a political lifetime, and it's a lot that we don't know about how things are going to play out.
And when you say play out, I think you probably are referencing everybody sitting on pins and needles waiting to see what Preet Bharara is going to do. There are some people who think that Cuomo could be in some real trouble with Preet Bharara.
Yeah, of course, we don't know. There's the Bharara investigation into the administration could have an effect on the governor. It's certainly not going to be a good thing if one of his top aides, who's been charged with corruption, actually ends up getting indicted and ultimately convicted. That's not going to be good for the governor. But we don't know how far this thing reaches. We have no real sense of the impact. That's one of the variables that could drive what the governor's future plans are. I mean, his first issue is going to be, does he choose to run for a third term or not? All indications are that he's planning to do so, but how basically the opening on the Democratic side for the presidential primaries, how that plays into his calculus for that, I don't think we know, certainly, and the governor himself may not know. But that's the big looming decision. Barrera's investigation could torpedo any future plans the governor may have or give him the green light to move ahead.
Now, it's interesting that in the presidential politics, as we got up to the election, two things happened. When Hillary Clinton was asked whether she would reappoint Preet Bharara as the U.S. attorney, she said, it's too early to tell, sending shockwaves at least through me and maybe others. Then Chuck Schumer said something that was sort of similar to that, and Bharara comes out of the Chuck Schumer organization. So I was a little puzzled by all of that. I think you and I have discussed it in the past. But Donald Trump said, no, he was going to reappoint Bharara. What do you think of that?
Well, certainly from, we'll see what the president-elect actually does and his attorney general, they actually do when they move on things. But from a Republican's perspective, having a U.S. attorney in New York City, based in New York City, going after corruption without fear or favor in a state heavily dominated by Democrats has its advantages, particularly if the Democrats have been behaving badly, as have some Republicans in New York State. So, I mean, I thought that was certainly a clever political move, and one that certainly Bharara, I believe, deserves credit from whoever the president was going to be, and now we know who it's going to be, in terms of reappointment. Whether or not Bharara wants to stay U.S. attorney or not, of course, we don't know, particularly if there's a new administration. It's hard to say. The senior senator of the state obviously has a big role in that as well. Time will tell. We'll see what Bharara wants to do.
Yeah. Well, the senior senator of the state of the same party as the president virtually named the U.S. attorney and many of the judges. But that ain't the case, and we don't have a Republican senator in New York State. So I would assume that what the president-elect wants is pretty much what he's going to get. And one other thing, when I said a lot of people were waiting for the shoe to drop, there are rumors that Cuomo could be in real trouble, as in indictment trouble, but we don't know.
No, that's right. I mean, the one thing, of course, is you and I shouldn't know because that would be illegal. But Schumer's going to have a lot of sway with the new administration, even if he is in a different party. The Republicans don't have 60 votes in the U.S. Senate. Schumer is the leader of the minority party in the U.S. Senate, and he'll have a capacity to cause a lot of trouble for the president-elect. And so these are the kinds of things, like a U.S. attorney position, for example, or even judges, where Schumer may still be able to exert influence, even though he's a Democrat.
Yeah. We're talking to Blair Horner of the New York Public Interest Research Group. So let me move on and ask you, as we speak today, there are protests all over America about the election of Donald Trump. He's not our president, so and so. You represent NYPIRG, a lot of students at NYPIRG. What are you hearing?
Well, just for your listeners, just to remind everybody, we're nonpartisan. We don't play a role when it comes to who gets elected or who doesn't, or endorse any political parties. Among younger voters, particularly in the state of New York, and in particular in the city of New York, there was a lot of negative reactions to the election of Donald Trump as president. I think people were in deep shock, like much of the rest of the country. They believed what the pollsters were telling them, that Hillary Clinton was going to win. She did get the most votes, but she didn't get the most electoral votes. And so I think there was a lot of shock, and it's going to take some time, I think, for people to process what this all means. But the country is very polarized. And what the election shows is, you know, basically the country's 50-50. And the movement of just relatively small numbers of people in a relatively small number of states determines who the president is. And, you know, despite all of the noise, voter turnout was down across the country and was down in New York. I think it's going to be interesting to look deeper at how the Voting Rights Act changes may have impacted in voter turnout in certain states. There were long lines in the city of New York, and if you voted upstate New York, there were no long lines.
Well, let me stop you right there. Interestingly, Blair, I believe that Hillary won about 4-1 in New York City, but lost in upstate New York. What does that tell you?
Well, I mean, you know, it's consistent with what happened with Obama. I mean, Obama won barely outside of the city of New York. Really, the power of the Democratic vote comes from the city of New York. And Clinton did more or less the same as Obama did. But it shows that the rest of the state is purple. And I think many people, particularly people in the city of New York, forget that the rest of the state is really a very close, like the rest of the country, is a closely enrolled state in terms of Democrats versus Republicans. And you saw it reflected in the numbers. The overwhelming number of the counties of New York State voted for Trump. Suffolk County voted heavily for Trump, even though Nassau County squeaked for Clinton. And so people, I think, particularly in the city, don't understand this. Upstaters, I think, have a better appreciation for how closely contested it is between Democrats and Republicans.
Yeah, but what's real interesting about that is that when Zephyr Teachout, who just lost, by the way, in her congressional bid, ran against Andrew Cuomo in upstate New York, she damn near beat him on everything except Buffalo.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, when it comes to the Democrats in upstate, that's exactly right. They tend to be, if anything, in a sense, very liberal. They're certainly less part of the political establishment, much more likely to vote how they want to vote. In New York City, you have actual political machines that can churn out the vote. You don't have that as much in upstate, other than maybe Albany County. So, you know, you're absolutely right. Teachout lost. The congressional races were pretty much a status quo election in New York State, as were the state legislative races. More or less a status quo election. Sort of surprising to me that there were no major changes.
Any surprises at all in the races for both the Assembly and the Senate?
No, the Assembly, the Democrats expanded their majority. In the Senate, I think it's still unclear how it's all going to play out. There are two Senate Republican incumbents whose elections are still not really been called. Senator Marcelino in Nassau County has about a 2,000-vote edge at the end of the unofficial results. And then Senator Venditto from South Shore of Nassau County is actually 66 votes behind the Democrats. And how those races turn out could have an impact to some extent on what happens in the Senate. The Republicans have, if they win both of those seats, will have a numerical majority, which is surprising in a presidential year. But if they lose one of them, they won't. And it'll be the so-called independent Democrats plus State Senator Simca Felder, a Democrat and also ran on the Republican line, to sort of cobble together a coalition majority, and they may do it with Republicans.
But they can't do it, in my opinion, and this is my opinion, without Governor Cuomo's acquiescence. In other words, if he turns around and says to Jeff Klein of the Bronx, who's a Democrat, but who is this a bad term, in bed with the Republicans, then one wonders whether or not they wouldn't have to acquiesce to the governor, who has to worry that his left is not strong in New York State.
Well, I think it depends on what happens in these two races. If the Republicans keep both seats, they will have 32 of the 63 state senators, and it won't matter. If they lose one of them, then Simca Felder, who's a Democrat from Brooklyn, who also, though this year for the first time, ran on the Republican line, if he decides to conference with the Republicans, they'll still have 32.
Well, of course he's going to conference with the Republicans. He's always done that, right?
Well, you never know, right? You never know what's going to happen. But if that's the case, then the Jeff Klein scenario becomes far weaker problem for the governor and for Jeff Klein, because the Republicans will have a real majority or a working majority, and then the pressure from the governor, I think, will be dramatically less in terms of his ability to try to influence the so-called independent Democrats.
I'm sorry, I know this is getting to be inside baseball, and I apologize to our listeners for that, but if, in fact, Jeff Klein and his six or seven people could be convinced that they had to conference with the Democrats because in the Senate because it was politically needful on the part of the governor, wouldn't that give the Democrats a majority?
Not necessarily. If these two seats on Long Island stay in Republican hands, Republicans will have 32 seats. They actually picked up a net one under that scenario. And then Felder becomes the 33rd member of that conference, or if one of the Republicans goes down in Nassau County, could be the 32nd
now
if he goes to disagree with the Republicans.
Now, the second that you mentioned from the South Shore has a problem, doesn't he? And that his father has a big problem.
Yeah, I mean, one of the big blockbuster October surprises in the state level was that Republican Nassau County Executive Mangano was charged with corruption, and included in that was his wife and also the supervisor of the town of Oyster Bay, who's the father of this state Senator Venditto. And to some extent, there has been repercussions from the son's perspective, the bad timing was a mailing went out with his father's picture on it right before the election, and that certainly tainted the son with scandal, even if the son has, as far as we know, nothing to do with what his father was involved in. And so that's why the Democrat, who I don't think most people had thought didn't have a shot, was able to eke out, at least for now, in the unofficial results, a 66-vote margin of victory.
Let's go back to national politics and the implications for New York. The Attorney General of the United States has already been announced that he's going to be Rudy Giuliani, and that announcement was made by none other than Donald Trump. Rudy Giuliani, of course, is an interesting guy in that you may remember, if my memory serves me correctly, when the 9/11 thing happened and Bloomberg had been elected, Giuliani asked Bloomberg to step aside for a while so he could be mayor for a little while longer. Do you remember that whole thing?
Yeah, at the time, Rudy Giuliani, 9/11 occurred on primary day in New York City, and there was this understandable chaos that resulted from that. Ultimately, in the general election, which went forward, there were discussions even postponing the general election. Michael Bloomberg was elected mayor. He was mayor-elect. I think Giuliani at the time was saying that we should postpone the general election to give time to deal with whatever was happening because people didn't know it was happening. But ultimately, the election did go forward. Bloomberg was elected and took his term as office.
And certainly wasn't going to step aside. Let me ask you about this. There's a fellow in my mind who I'm thinking about lately, and that's Bernard Kerik. First prison's the guy for Giuliani, then chief of police for Giuliani, commissioner for Giuliani, then goes to prison. Very embarrassing. Now, is Giuliani going to have to, when he's being vetted about all of this, if he is vetted, is he going to have to explain that?
Well, there's a lot of questions the former mayor of the city of New York will have to answer. I mean, he's been involved in a lot of activities, lobbying activities, et cetera. I assume the Senate Democrats will ask him those questions. But again, Kerik's issues, as I recall, for what he was convicted on, really had to do with misuse of public resources. It's not entirely clear to me that the mayor would have necessarily known that he was using an apartment to meet with his girlfriend like he wasn't supposed to.
Well, yeah, but Giuliani, as I remember it, had pushed with the Bush administration for Kerik to become the head of Homeland Security, and it turned out he was a crook. Isn't Giuliani going to have to answer for that?
Those will be questions for Chuck Schumer and see what the Senate Democrats ask. I would be surprised if the questions didn't come up, but I assume the former mayor's answers will be that, you know, he didn't know about those things and when he advanced the person as the head of Homeland Security nominee.
Meanwhile, back at the ranch, A.G. Schneiderman continues to investigate. Will he continue to investigate Trump for his business dealing? How would you like to be Schneiderman in the middle of the night?
The Attorney General, so your listeners, is brought
New York State Attorney General, yeah.
That's right. New York State Attorney General has brought an investigation into the Trump charity. There have been some issues surrounding the misuse of charitable funds by the Trump Foundation. There are ongoing investigations at the Trump University as well. I think the president-elect is going to have his hands full on the legal front. Now, whether or not those are the kinds of violations that would really derail anything or have any meaningful impact on the president election, I don't know. Obviously, that the courts will figure that out. But the new president will have his hands full in the courtroom, in addition to running the government.
So will Trump play a role in New York state politics, do you think? I see that Ed Cox has put out a glowing reception to the president, and he, of course, has supported the president's candidacy. He was not one of those Republicans who turned his back, I know, because I asked him on this show on several occasions.
You know, I mean, that's a good question. I mean, Donald Trump really dabbled in New York state politics and New York City politics to some extent, but he was never a major figure. His name was even raised at one point to run for governor against Andrew Cuomo, but that never came to be. And while it's entirely possible that his allies will be able to, you know, use the president's office for their activities, the partisan activities in the state, it's a blue state by and large. And to the extent that Trump is able to involve himself in politics, or the administration involve itself in politics in New York State, I think it's going to hinge more on how popular he is than anything else. If he turns out to be a president of tremendous popularity, like former President Reagan, that will have a profound effect on politics in New York State. If not, if he ends up more of the popularity of former President Bush II, then the impact will be negative.
Blair Horner, for all of us who know and appreciate what you do, your strongest suit, it has always been, insisting on ethics reform in New York State. And in your role as a commentator here on this radio station and other places, you have just pushed and pushed and pushed the legislature, both the Assembly and the Senate, really ought to get their act together and do what's right so that there are limits, for example, on outside income, which we all know is the way that these guys enrich themselves. Like the United States Congress has such a prohibition. So what do you make of this election as it relates to your push for ethics reform?
Well, it's a status quo election. I think it won't have much of an effect one way or the other. What's going to drive what happens in Albany on ethics are going to be these ongoing investigations by the U.S. attorney, both into the Cuomo administration, the legislature, and the investigation into Nassau County. I mean, that's where the lid gets blown off, and I think lawmakers are feeling pretty good. Incumbents across the board won, despite the unprecedented scandals. So I think that they're probably feeling like hunkering down and sort of ignoring it. Whistling past the graveyard is the right approach.
Yeah. I want to go back, if I may, just to end this up with your remarks earlier about climate change. You know, there are those of us, you know, we follow Al Gore and we say we got to do something. The president has tried to do something. The president-elect has made it clear he thinks it's a bunch of hokum. So what's going to happen and what will your students in NYPERG have to say about that?
No, I mean, it's really, if the president-elect's views are really those that he articulated, it flies in the face of basic science. It's terrible. Coal-fired plants and oil plants being fired up again in the country is only going to contribute to the destruction of the atmosphere. It's a really terrible decision. It's going to mean a lot of misery and famine and disease for millions of people across the planet. The vast majority of human had nothing to do with climate change in the first place. I'm just hoping that the president-elect's comments were more for partisan appeal and less his understanding of the science. And you hope at the end of the day that our public officials follow the best science and the best practice in making decisions to benefit most people. Ignoring that will only lead to environmental catastrophe.
To quote George Bush II, I can only say ain't going to happen. We're already hearing he's putting a climate denier in at the EPA.
Well, you know, again, I don't know what else to say, right? All we can do is hope in this area. And, you know, his appointments to the U.S. Supreme Court will probably be even, if they follow what he's been saying, will be even less interested in following climate change science. But you never know, right? I mean, it's entirely possible that people will change their minds. You hope that people faced with basic science and knowledge and get the right officials will change their mind. The Bush administration did. Hopefully the Trump administration will too.
So last question, and we only have a few seconds for it. There are a lot of not-for-profits in New York State. Will the Trump election help not-for-profits or hurt?
Again, I don't really have no idea. I mean, not-for-profits are regulated by the Internal Revenue Service. I have no idea what the Trump administration is planning for that. Clearly, it will have an effect, because I think depending on the issue areas, donors might well be interested in helping to provide services for the poor or the poorly educated if government is not doing that. So it may have an impact. I think the repeal of Obamacare may have a terrible effect on not-for-profit hospitals. But we'll see. I mean, we don't know what he plans on replacing it with, and that really ultimately at the end of the day is what's going to matter.
Well, we love talking to Blair Horner, who is a hero to so many of us. We're out of time. Our guest has been Blair Horner, the executive director of NYPERG, New York Public Interest Research Group. Blair, thanks so much for joining us.
Pardon me.
The Capital Connection is distributed with the cooperation of the public radio stations of New York State. David Gustina is the producer of The Capital Connection, a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio in Albany. Support for The Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.